Maybe we've become too accustomed to our blessings. Maybe we need to be reminded that there are some things for which we need to be truly thankful. And maybe we need to see some examples, and maybe we need to learn some lessons so that we can and so that we will be truly thankful people. How thankful a person are you? I mean, really, how thankful are we? I want to read something that someone wrote. I don't have the author of this, but I found it and I thought it was really interesting to show what would happen to the average American family if they were suddenly reduced to the annual income category of over one half of the world's population. Take away the furniture, saving a few old blankets, a kitchen table, and one chair. Take away all the clothing except for the oldest dress or suit, a shirt or a blouse, and one pair of shoes for the head of the family. Empty the cupboards of food with the exception of a small bag of flour, some sugar, salt, a few molded potatoes, a handful of onions, and a dish of fried beans. Dismantle the bathroom, shut off the water, and remove the electrical supply from the house. Exchange all automobiles for one bicycle. Take away the house itself. And move the family into a tool shed. Cancel all subscriptions to newspapers, magazines, and book clubs. Put the nearest clinic or hospital 100 miles away and put a midwife in charge instead of a doctor. Discard the bank account, stock certificates, pension plans, insurance policies, and leave the family $5 in cash. Give the head of the family a few acres to cultivate to grow food for his family, and then one-third of which is grown, he gives to the landlord. Over half of the world's population, that's how they live. So again, I make the statement, maybe we have become too accustomed to our blessings. Maybe we need to learn examples. Maybe we need to learn some examples and to see some lessons. I'd like to ask a question. What comes to your mind when you are asked the question, what would be an excellent example found in the Bible about someone who should be truly thankful? Well, there are many. There are many. Let me just list a few of them here. And I did these right off the top of my head because I started, well, let me think. Because I asked myself that question. And this is not in any particular order, but this is the order that I thought about them. So this is the order I wrote them down. What about the nation of Israel? How thankful should they have been? What about Rahab? What about Ruth? What about David? What about the Apostle Paul? What about the 10 lepers? What about us? And of course, there are many, many others. And I truly believe that from every one of these stories, we could learn some important lessons about being truly thankful. Let us look at some of these examples. Let's see what we might learn about being truly thankful. The first one I'd like for us to take a look at is the Apostle Paul. Some things from his life. If you would go with me to Acts chapter 9, in Acts chapter 9, and let's begin reading in verse 1. Now, you know this account, but we're going to read it in the context of being truly thankful. In Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, and Saul, and we know his name was later changed to Paul, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, meaning of the way of Christianity, what we believe, what we are part of, if he finds any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Okay, well, let's stop and think. How thankful are you to be a Christian? What if you live in a world, in a country, in the world today, that they put them to death? How thankful are you to be a Christian? Let's continue on. In verse 3, and as Saul journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. This powerful light comes down, knocks him, as it were, to his feet, because we understand this is what happened, because it says, and when he gets up, you know, so we understand that. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord? Interesting question. He understood that was something more powerful than he, and he calls him Lord, or boss, or master. He says, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, meaning go into Damascus, and it shall be told you what you must do. Verse 7, and the men which journeyed with Saul stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. It's interesting. And I've never drawn attention to this before. Saul was knocked to his feet, and these men with him were not. They heard it, but they didn't see anything, and they're wondering about it. Verse 8, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no men. In other words, he was blinded. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. What an example of calling. This is Saul's calling into Christianity. We just read this story, we just see this account, and I think that as we read this account, we obviously should come to the place of understanding Paul's excitement about being called to be one of the mighty examples of God's correct way of life. He was going the other way. And God knocks him down and calls him, and Saul gets up and says, where do you want me to go, and what do you want me to do, and how do you want me to do it? It's his calling. And I can see where we would all think excitement for this incredible, mighty example of then being able to live God's way of life. Saul was very thankful and expressed his sincere gratitude of thankfulness. It's found in several places in the writings of Paul. I'd like for us to read just a couple of the biblical passages and see if there's lessons that we can learn from Paul's teaching us about thankfulness. Let's start by going to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know I have a question. Do we do this? Giving thanks always for all things. He doesn't make a separation here of things that are going our way and the things that are going against our way. He isn't doing that. He says, for all things. And you look up the Greek word and you know what it means? Always and all things. When was the last time we didn't get something that we really wanted? Did we thank God? It's a question. That's what Paul is saying. We take it to God and we say, I'd like to have such and such. And God says, no, or not now. Did we thank him? And you know, and it comes down to, it's either yes or no. We either did or we didn't. What about the last time we didn't have the money for, and you fill in the blank. Did we thank God? Brother, it is that simple. That's what Paul is saying. For all things, always. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And see, pretty much the same thing. It's a little bit different in one aspect of it. Verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, and it says, in everything give thanks. Well, that's pretty much what we just read. But let's read the rest of the verse. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, at all times, give thanks to God because it's the will of God for us to do that. You see, to give thanks always for all things is not just Paul's opinion. We read here very clearly, it's the will of God. Whatever happens, whether it be good or indifferent or bad, it's real clear. We're to be giving God thanks because it's the will of God to do so. Now, I'm not standing here as an example of telling you that I've done all of this or I know how to do all of this. I'm reading the scriptures just in advance of your hearing them. I'm having to learn all of this also. This is what I want to do. I think this is what we all want to do. But we're going to take a look at it because I think we need to do so, especially at, you know, this time of the year. We need to do it at all times. But since we, as a people, we think about all the things we've received, and at this time of the year, we have a holiday, and we keep this day, and we do certain traditions, and none of that is in itself is wrong or any of those kinds of things, but we are even encouraged. Well, give thanks to God for all that you've done. I think it's much bigger than that. I think it's much bigger than that. So a question that I ask each one of us, including myself, is this our attitude in all things? This is God's will. What about the last time that we or a loved one got sick? Or what about, and you fill in the blank again. It seems Paul got it. It seems to me that the Apostle Paul understood the principle of thanking God for all things at all times. And the question is, do we? Now, we could go through various examples of the life of Paul. He's in prison. He's been beaten. He's shipwrecked. He's left for dead. And he thanks God for all things at all times because he understands it's the will of God. He got it. And he's trying to teach it to us. I'd like for us to read one more place where Paul tells us something to be truly thankful for. It's over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians 9 in verse 15. Very simply stated verse. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The ultimate unspeakable gift is salvation. It's salvation. How truly thankful are we that we have this knowledge? Now, here's my point about asking it like that. The fact is, God has a plan of salvation, whether we would ever have known about it or not. But do you ever just thank God for his plan of salvation and that he has called us so that we can know it? Because the plan was going to go on whether we'd ever been born or whether we would have ever known this or not. The plan was still there. Do we thank God for his plan and that we know it? It's one of those unspeakable gifts. When was the last time that we really offered a thanksgiving of praise with excitement for this unspeakable gift of salvation? Let me show you one more passage from Paul. It's along the line of what I'm talking about here. It's in 1 Corinthians 15. We know this. We start reading these verses. You're going to know them. Some of you can probably read them along with me without looking at your Bible because we have them committed to memory. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. When was the last time that we actually thank God for that as a reality that is going to happen? Verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Thank you, God, that there is a time coming when there's going to be no more death. Thank you. Verse 57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul became a very thankful person because his view of God had changed. He saw God in a totally different light, no pun intended and exactly by using that word, when he couldn't physically see. And as a result, the Apostle Paul, through his writings, even though he has been dead for 2,000 years, he teaches us to be thankful at all times and for all things, as this is the will of God. And as we see in this last passage that we just read, we are to be truly thankful to God for all things and thankful that God gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Let's move on to another example. Let's see some of the things from the life of King David. David became king over all of Israel, and for this in itself, he could have been truly thankful. I mean, if you just look at his story, when they were going to anoint the next king, God sent Samuel as a prophet to go into Jesse's house and I'm sending you there because I'm going to have you anoint the next king. He wasn't even called in. He was left out in the pasture. And so whenever it does happen, just for the fact that God had chosen him, not because of his greatness, but because of God's greatness, and David understood that. David could have been truly thankful for the fact that he was king. However, his thankfulness went far beyond being king. And he teaches us lessons about true thankfulness from some of his writings. And I'd like for us to take a look and read some of the passages and look for lessons that we might learn from King David. I want you to go with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms 18. We could start in almost any of them and look for thankfulness, but I have a reason for having chosen this particular passage. In Psalm 18, and we're going to begin reading in verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God but the Lord? Or who is a rock but our God? It is God that girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. He sets me up on my high places. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand has holden me up, and your gentleness has made me great. You have enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip. I have persecuted mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again until they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet because you girded me with strength unto the battle. You have subdued under me those that rose up against me. Come over to verse 46. You can continue reading all through here, but let's drop on down to verse 46. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and let the Lord of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from mine enemies. Yes, you lift me up above those that rise up against me. You have delivered me from the valiant man. Verse 49. Therefore, because of all of these things that David is talking about, therefore, I will give thanks unto you, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto your name. Because of how you have dealt with me, because of what you're doing in my life, therefore I am going to give you thanks among the heathen, and I am going to sing praises unto your name. Well, let me just give you in a 1-2-3 order here some of the things that caused David to be thankful. These are some of the reasons for which we can also be thankful. They're right out of these scriptures that I just read. And I'm just going to just list them straight down from these verses. God is perfect. Do you ever thank God that He's perfect? God is perfect. God's word is tried or is proven. He girds us with strength. Because see, we can be thankful for these same things. He makes our ways perfect. It's Jesus Christ lives in us. He sets us on high places. He levels the ground for us so that we will not slip. He is our shield of salvation. He holds us up with His right hand. He avenges us. He subdues our enemies. He delivers us from our enemies. He lifts us up. And there are others. There are others in these verses that we just read. David tells us, for these things, I thank you. And we can do the same. Therefore will I give thanks unto you, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto your name. Now, without necessarily turning to some other passages from King David, because we could go page after page after page, just in the book of Psalms from David's writings, And we can just keep adding to and adding to. But I'd like to give just a partial list of verses that show true thankfulness. And we can learn from every one of these. I'm going to give you the verse and I'm going to just tell you basically what it says. If you're writing notes, just write the verse. Don't try to turn to these because I'm going to go so fast you're not going to be able to really keep up in that way. Psalm 35 and verse 18, I will give you thanks in the great congregation. Psalm 92 and verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto your name, O Most High. Psalm 105, verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among his people. Psalm 106, verse 1. O praise you the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 107 and verse 1 is the same as chapter 106, verse 1. And then Psalm 118 in verse 1 is the same as chapters 106, verse 1 and 107, verse 1. And then in that same chapter, Psalm 118 in verse 29, it's the same wording. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. In Psalm 119 in verse 62, at midnight, David writes, I will rise to give thanks unto you because of your righteous judgments. And this phrase, I will rise at midnight, in other words, what he's implying is, if I wake up at night, I'm going to get up and I am going to give and I'm going to thank you because of your righteous judgments. Brother, what we need to understand, of course, is whatever his judgment is, it is righteous. And so however God has dealt with something, if you wake up during the night and you go, oh, I have this problem, I can't go back to sleep, maybe it's God giving you an opportunity or God giving me an opportunity that we can praise him, that we can thank him for things that we haven't taken the time to do so during the day. It's a different way of looking at it, I understand. But if you look at it from the point of view of when we crawled into the watery grave, when we came out of that grave, our lives belong to God. And everything that happens to us is okay because it belongs to God now. Even the sleep that he gives us, or not. And so if we awake and can't go back to sleep, then we thank God that he's given us time to thank him for all of his righteous judgments. I do want us to go to one more place. And looking at the life of King David, let's go to Psalm 30. We're going to begin reading in verse 10. Psalm 30 and verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be you my helper. You have turned from me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto you forever. God has turned our mourning into dancing many, many times. He has girded us with gladness. And as King David shows, it is for the purpose, verse 12, beginning of the verse, to the end, or for the purpose, the reason this has happened is that my glory may sing praises unto you, and I give you thanks forever. So it is for the purpose that we will glorify God with singing praises to him and not being silent. In other words, we will be heard. We will sing praises to God. Others will hear it. We are to be excited about our worshiping and praising God, and we are to offer thanks to God forever. Is this our attitude? Along with the other lessons that we have seen from David's example, offering thanks to God forever is an obvious, wonderful lesson in being truly thankful. Are we thankful people? Let's see one more example of thankfulness. They had leprosy, a disease for which there was no cure. To put it mildly, these 10 men were hopeless. You see, because the disease was thought to be highly contagious, lepers were driven out of town where they could not associate with anybody. And so here are these 10 men that have leprosy, and they are together because they can't be around anyone else. Leprosy in biblical times was a terrible thing. We're not exactly sure what biblical leprosy was. There's all kinds of speculations of what it is, but I'm not getting into any of that. But whatever it was, once a person caught it, it was considered incurable, and those diagnosed with leprosy were banned from society. I want you to go with me to the book of Leviticus, and I want to show you just something real simply that's stated out of the law about leprosy. There's more than this one place. I just want to read it from this one place. Go to Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus 13. And we're going to read verses 45 and 46. Leviticus 13, 45. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes. Let his hair be unkempt. I'm reading from an alternate translation, but I think it's actually clearer in modern language than even the King James or the New King James. He must cover the lower part of his face and cry out, unclean, unclean. Verse 46. As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone and must live outside the camp. That's what the law states. So when you hear about these 10 men, you understand a little more about what is actually going on. They have leprosy. They're considered contagious. It's considered as being uncurable. And if they happen to see people walking toward them, they are the ones who are to walk to the other side of the street. It was not only a horrible disease, but they were treated horribly as well. Now let's read the account of the 10 lepers and see if there's lessons that we can learn from them. Luke 17. Let's begin reading in verse 11. Luke 17 and verse 11. Oh, and by the way, this gospel account is the only one that records the 10 lepers. Lepers are mentioned in other places, even in the New Testament, but this is the only one of the 10 lepers. This is the only place. Aren't we thankful for the book of Luke that he's recorded it? Because we can learn lessons from this. Verse 11. And it came to pass as Jesus went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Remember, they had to separate themselves, and this is what these men are doing. In verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They lift up his voice because they're standing afar off, because they're not going to come down because they understand the rules of society. They understood the law enough to know that this is how they were supposed to have done this. And when he saw them, he said unto them, here's where we start getting into the lesson very, very early. Go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, in Leviticus 13, it shows the details about how they're supposed to go to the priest and what is, if it looks like this. This is, now, I'm not reading all of that, but this is why Jesus is saying, go show yourself unto the priest. What he's telling them is, go and show yourself and let the priest declare you to be cleansed. Why would anyone tell somebody to go show yourself to the priest when you have leprosy if nothing has changed? Jesus wouldn't have done that. Let's continue on. And he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Sounds like Psalm 30, verses 10 to 12. When something happens and we're to show thanksgiving, we're to do it in a loud way. Don't be silent. That's what it says. This is what this man is doing. Verse 16, and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God but this stranger. I'm not trying to make anything out of the fact that he was a Samaritan or he was a stranger here, because it's not my point, because there's other things there and I'm not looking into that. And then verse 19, and Jesus said unto him, to the leper, arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole. Now we're going to come back to that a little bit later in the sermon. So what we see is these 10 lepers, outcasts, hopeless, cried, Master, have mercy upon us. Everyone else would have told them they were going to die and that it was absolutely useless to ask for help. It was an incurable disease. What do you think would have happened to them if they had believed that? They would have died. They would have died. That's what would have happened. But they came to the Master, taking him at his word, all things are possible to him who believes. Let's begin to see some things that we can learn from here. One of the first things that I see in this account is that Jesus saw a way to test their faith. He said to them, go, show yourselves to the priest. They had leprosy. They could have simply looked at each other and said, nothing has changed. We're just like we were. We're the same. Because if you read the account closely enough, you see, instead, they did what Jesus said. They obeyed him. And brethren, here is an important lesson. As they went, do we get this? As they went, the blessing came. He didn't say, go show yourself unto your priest, unto the priest because you have been cleansed. He said, go show yourself unto the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed. On the way, they left. They obeyed. As they went, that is an incredible lesson that we learned here. They were cleansed. They, the 10, were healed of leprosy. What an incredible, tremendous example for them and lesson for us. Because here's another point that we get from this. Nothing is too hard or too impossible for God. Do we believe that? Do we thank God for the fact that there is nothing impossible or too hard for God? It also happens to be a Bible verse. It's in the same book, the first chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37 that tells us, for with God nothing shall be impossible. First of all, do we believe the statement? And the second one is, if we do believe it, do we thank God for that as a fact? Yes, Jesus tested these men's faith. And when God tests our faith, and he does, he always gives us a challenge that we can meet. Just as God provided bread for the children of Israel when they made their way through the desert, God also will always guide us. And brethren, please also understand, our response to God's blessings is important. How we respond to the blessings that God gives to us is important. And from the story of the 10 lepers, one of the things that we learned is how many of them came back and said, thank you. You see, Jesus makes a point of it. He makes a point of it. There were 10 lepers. They all asked for healing, and they all were healed. But there was a key difference in one of them. 9 of them received healing and went their way. Only one took the time and the effort to come back and say, thank you. Why? I don't know. The story doesn't tell us why. Perhaps the 9 were not thankful. Why would somebody not be thankful? Well, maybe because they concentrated on their troubles and not on their blessings. What do we concentrate on? I don't know the answer of why it doesn't say. But please understand this. This story is for us. The story is not for these men. This book was written, I'm just throwing out a time, I don't mean exact writings of it. This book was written 30 years after the fact. So it wasn't for the men. It wasn't written for them. It was written down and preserved all this time for us. What is our attitude and our reaction when God does something big or small, for that matter, in our lives? Do we truly thank him? Whether it's something that we wanted and didn't get, or whether it was something we wanted and we did get. Are we seeing that's an important lesson through the pages of the Bible on thankfulness? It's the will of God. Whatever it is, it's the will of God, and we're to be giving thanks for it. Maybe we need to make a list of our assets alongside our losses. And if we did that as a project, I would hope that we would realize that for every one of us, we are more blessed than hurt. And Jesus said, were there not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Suppose God looked down on all the people on the earth. What would he say if he looked down at us? Do we thank God at all times and for all things? And we do it every day. Is our attitude one of thanking God forever? You see, brethren, the one leper received the physical blessing the first time along with the other 9. But when this one leper came back to say thank you, he received an even greater blessing. And sometimes we read this account and I think we read right over it. Jesus said unto him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you whole." And there's a lesson. This man learned that spiritual blessings are more important than physical blessings. Do we believe this? What is our reaction when we receive blessings from God? Does it make a difference to us between the physical and the spiritual blessings we receive from God? Is there a difference? Should there be a difference? And I will let you answer that. Thanksgiving, and I'm not talking about the holiday. I'm talking about the act of giving thanks to God. Thanksgiving is much more than looking back on the blessings that we have received. Thanksgiving is looking forward to the blessings we can receive. We see that as the example from the 10 lepers. As they went on their way. You see, the 9 lepers who were healed and did not thank Jesus had the blessing of healing. But they missed the blessing of wholeness. Luke 17 and verse 19. And Jesus said unto him, the leper who returned to glorify God and to thank Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole." It's something to think about. It's much more than just the physical blessing of healing that this man received. The others received that. He received more. Don't let small or seemingly not so important blessings escape our sight. Don't let our blessings cause us to forget to be thankful. Instead, let's give thanks and remember, your faith has made you whole. And the ironic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, "On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Well, I certainly ask that God would bless each one of us, that we would be truly thankful people. Thankful to God for all things, at all times, forever. Because God has made us whole.